Hey guys, Kiel Stokes here. Welcome back to the Trading Coach Podcast. Today, we're talking about fearing the unknown, which is a very common fear in trading with traders who are actively trading the markets. But in today's example, we're going to talk about how fearing the unknown is also a big obstacle that gets in the way of people starting their trading journey as well. So the other day, my friend was in town for his birthday, so we got the whole gang together, and I don't know if you ever saw the movie Hangover. We did one of those type of trips, right? That's the reason I've been out of town for so many days lately, a few days for vacation, the other days trying to figure out where I was at, what did I do, and get my life back together. Just kidding, of course, but the other day, I was talking to my friends and whatnot, and we were just catching up on some stuff, and I got a friend who has been very successful. He is happily married. He's got two beautiful children. He is a manager at his job, and, you know, it's a good life. However, like many good lives, there's always a sacrifice. There's always a give and a take to everything we do. It's funny because, you know, people tend to see people from the outside and only judge them on one thing, where it's like the must be nice type of people, where it's like, oh, you work here, you drive that car, must be nice, but they don't see what it took to get there, or, you know, vice versa. And one of the sacrifices that he had to make to put himself in the position that he's in is sacrifice his time, right? One of the things about being a manager at a, you know, any type of job is that you are in charge. And when you are in charge, if the people underneath you aren't doing their job, you have to make sure the job gets done. So not only is he always on call because he is a manager, he is overseeing a large group of individuals, but when people call off or if something happens at a store in his district, he's got to travel, he's got to go there, he's got to step in, fill in, and make sure everything's okay. And as you can imagine, this is a massive time investment. So the thing that he was kind of not complaining about, but talking about was, hey man, I wish I had more time. I've got this beautiful wife, I've got beautiful kids. There are all these things I'd want to do, but I feel like my life has become work, home, sleep, work, home, sleep, and there's very little time to spend with them. And he's like, Akil, that's why I kind of envy what you're doing. And not envy like in a jealous type of way, but like, I appreciate what you're doing, because with the trading stuff that you do, you have freedom of time. You know, for example, the other day, my youngest had park day at his school, where, you know, my wife is like, hey, you know, he has park day, I got this meeting she had to go to, like, can you meet Cameron at a park at 10 o'clock in, you know, in the morning? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? Right? It's my schedule. I can do whatever I want. So I was able to do that. And I don't pull that card often, because there are things that I have to do for the trading business, right? But understand that I do have the freedom to, if I want to make a decision like that and spend time with my kid midday, I can. And we got talking about the conversation and about becoming a trader, because becoming a trader is something that he's always wanted to do for, you know, ever since I got started, really. He was one of the few people that had my back when I first got into trading. I didn't meet him at the very beginning, but I met him when I started to get good. And he wasn't one of the naysayers. He was one of the ones that was supporting me, saying it's cool. You show up for events and just show love and speak to my character and stuff like that. So he's always kind of hung around. I always told him, hey, you know, if you want to learn trading, like, hey, I'll sit down and teach you. I'll do some old school one-on-one mentoring with you and whatnot. And he often says he's interested, but he mentioned that the one fear that he has is the uncertainty. And I remember him saying it's the one thing that stopped him, that is his biggest obstacle, is not having that consistent, I guess, promise of income. So for example, right, he's a manager at his job, so he's on salary, right? So unless he gets fired for doing something dumb, he knows, like, hey, every 2 weeks, this is gonna show up in my bank account. He even had jobs before where he sold cars. And you know, if you're a car salesman or any job with commissions, you're not promised necessarily any money, but there's a trust in yourself where he's like, hey, I know if I do my job, if I sell these cars, I'll bring in blank amount. So there's a little bit more security there. The thing about trading is he didn't feel as if there was any security in trading, because he knows how wacky the markets are. He's like, he's seen streaks where he watches the news and the markets are doing this and the markets are doing that. And it's tough for him to get a grasp around, like, hey, I don't really have, I don't want to say any control, because we do have control over it, but from his perspective, I don't really have any control over what my income is. And he's correct to a fact, right? Or to a point, because in trading, short term at least, we never know the outcome of any given trade, right? I can do everything right. I can have a grade A plus trade. It is the perfect setup. I'm drooling and giving googly eyes over it. And it could lose, and I can get the same one the next time, and it can lose, and it can lose, and it can lose, and I can have a drawdown for a month where I look back at my stats and I did every single thing right, and it just wasn't meant to be. And it's very tough to deal with that mentally, because it's hard to do everything right and still be wrong, right? Imagine like you're playing, right? Insert usual sports reference, right? Imagine like you're playing a game and like you're getting destroyed by the other team, and your coach is like, you're like, coach, what can I do to get better? What did I did wrong? And you're like, hey, you know, you're doing everything right. Like, it's defeating, because you're like, well, I'm doing everything right and I still suck. Like, it's hard, but it's also hard from a financial perspective, because when you know you don't have that money coming in, especially if you need that money to pay for bills and whatnot, that starts to take away from your basic needs, right? The whole pyramid, whatever like that. And then you carry unnecessary stress, and then you become animal brained and you think short term, and it starts ruining other aspects of your life. So what I was telling him is that, you know, I guess a misconception about trading is that, you know, and I feel kind of hypocritical, because I did this. Like, so I quit three jobs. For you guys that don't know my story, I was working three jobs and going to grad school. I was kind of dilly-dallying around the trading thing, because I was making like $30,000, which was more money than I've ever seen in my life. And you know, I don't really spend anything. So I never really had a urgency or desire or need to be successful, because I mean, like, I wanted to be successful, but every time I would mess up and do something dumb, I'd just be like, oh, I'll just reload the bank account or the trading account next week and try it again. And I felt myself being on that hamster wheel where I really wasn't moving. So in order to fire myself up, I had to manufacture a situation where my back was against the wall and it was do or die. And that goes for my sports days, where, you know, I tend to perform the best when there's no other option but to perform. Like, I am the late game, give me the ball type of guy. I'm going to score. If you guys are watching the NBA playoffs, I'm Jason Tatum against the Sixers in game 7. I am Jimmy Butler all playoff season, where I've transformed into Michael Jordan's son, and I'm just destroying him out there. That's my mindset. So I quit my three jobs and said, hey, it's do or die, Akil. You got to figure out a way to make it work. And like a caged animal, I did, fortunately, but I wouldn't recommend anyone do that. The much smarter approach to trading is to slowly replace your main income with your trading income, if you choose to take that route of becoming a full-time trader. Not everyone needs to become a full-time trader. Most people won't become full-time traders. I've done podcast episodes before where, you know, we talk about, hey, there's nothing wrong. You can be a success story if you just use trading to supplement your income while keeping your full-time job, right? The success is different to everyone. But speaking from a perspective of someone who wants to become a full-time trader, we need to think big picture. The idea shouldn't be like, hey, I'm going to pick up trading. Akil says it takes 6 to 18 months. So let's give myself 2 years to learn how to trade. And then in 2 years, I'm going to quit my job and be a full-time trader, right? That's not realistic for most people. What you should be doing is really giving yourself a 5 to 10 year plan. I would say a 5 year plan minimum, 10 year plan maximum, about how you're going to replace your income and transition out of your current situation into a new situation, right? It's no different than, you know, people that are getting ready for retirement, where, you know, if you're retired and you have a pension, you start calculating how much you make and how much you need to live, and you start kind of setting yourself up to understanding, like, hey, if I'm doing this and that, I can retire at this age. So let's take that 5 year plan, and again, that's on the short side, 10 year plan, and break it down, right? If it's going to be, let's say, a year. Let's say you're on the fast track. If it takes you a year to learn how to trade, and let's say by the end of year two, you're a consistently profitable trader. Now you got 2 years in the books. You've got 3 years left in the five-year plan. So the first year is, let's assume you're good and you're profitable, right? The first year, you're trading, you're going to make a little bit of money, but it's not really enough to kind of change your life. But it's enough where you start seeing a little bit of income and it's helping you out some. So let's say you're at a job where you can reduce hours. Okay, so after year number three, maybe you reduce a little bit of your hours at your job, right? Then year number two, you get even more money. You're making, you're doing well. Maybe, let's say you go from full-time to half-time. You're number three. You go from, or this is number five total. I'm sorry, I'm confusing you guys. I'm adding the three to the two. But you're number five. Let's say you go from half-time to quarter-time. And you guys, I hope you get the point, right? You're slowly transitioning as your trading is getting better, right? And you're making more money because you're not touching that trading money. You're compounding your account. So your blank percent return is equaling even more money. You're slowly starting to not just quit your job, but transition out. And I remember a trader who I worked with who did this over, I think, a seven-year period where he was full-time, 40 hours a week, and then he went to 35 after his first successful year. Then he went to 30. Then he went straight to 20. Then he went to 15. And then after that, I think he went, I think they were talking about firing him, not firing him, but like they were transitioning, making cuts anyway. And I think he transitioned to either like five or just full-time trading after that. And it was very methodical, very deliberate, but it worked out. And I think that is the right way to do it. And going back to the first point that I made, so what about the mystery, the fear of the unknown? What about the fear of the unknown of like, hey, trading is unknown. I don't know what I'm going to make month to month. I don't know what I'm going to make trade to trade. How do I handle myself if I'm in that situation? Well, two things. One, by the time you become a consistently profitable trader, right, although we don't know the short-term results, we start to have a pretty good idea of what our long-term results will be, right? And I can tell you this from personal experience. I've been trading 16 years now. I want to say successfully for, 2009-ish? Nine? What is this? 23? So successfully for, I don't know how many years. 14 years now successfully. My return on investment, aside from a few, one outlier year where I had like a 60% ROI, right? I thought that was the norm and I never did it again. But I am pretty consistent in my returns, meaning that on an annual basis, I can pretty much pencil in how much I'm going to make just because it's been consistent. Now, the path to making it has been different, right? I've had years where I've had crazy starts to the year and then just like simmered down after that. I've had years where I had horrible starts to the year and caught fire in the summer. I've had every single type of year you can think of, right? So I don't know when it's going to come, but I know that when the dust settles, I should make blank amount. And knowing that allows me to prepare in advance, right? And this brings me to the second point, right? I just did a podcast talking about personal finance, talking about cash buffer, right? As far as just regular savings, right? We need a cash buffer in our trading, right? We shouldn't be trying to live, and again, in my opinion, ideally, we shouldn't be trying to live month to month off of our trading income, meaning it shouldn't be like, hey, just closed out my last trade for the month. Let me reach right into my account, take some money out, pay for these bills, and move on. No, what I would recommend doing is paying everything a year in advance. So what I mean by that is this, right? Calculate your expenses, whether it's your car note, whether it's your mortgage, whether it's electric, right? Anything that you have to pay. I'm not talking like vacations and luxury stuff, like the bare bones, like basic needs, food, survival, housing, shelter, stuff like that. Calculate how much that is on an annual basis. You can work emergencies in there as well because stuff happens, right? Hopefully you have an emergency fund extra for that, but if you don't, calculate that in there, right? And right away, put that money aside, right? So if it costs you blank amount per year, right? Before that year, at the beginning of the year, at the end of the previous year, put all of that money aside. Say, hey, I'm moving from my checking account to my savings account or whatever account you want to put in this amount. And throughout the year, when it comes to paying those things, you're going to pay those things out of that account. You're not going to touch your trading account. That way, you have that comfort of like, hey, even if I'm having a bad month, even if I'm having a bad 3-month stretch, I've already got these bills paid for. I can survive the year. Realistically, you would be able to survive the year if you didn't make a single percent from trading. And it's amazing the type of comfort that brings because you're no longer trading check to check. And when you're trading check to check, trust me, there is a pressure that comes along with that when you have to make money. Again, animal brain, survival, dumb stuff, short-term outlook. When you can look back and be like, I'm good for the year no matter what, it allows you to trust the process, trust the plan. It allows you to survive those drawdowns because you know that you have enough rope, enough parachute to survive to the other side. And you want to do that each and every year. And that's how you transition out. And then, of course, as you start to get less hours at your job, right, you start putting more into that account. More comes from your trading at the end of the year to that account, and it starts taking the place of that. So if we can do those two things, we're no longer going to fear the unknown as much. Yes, it's still going to be unknown. It's still going to be gray and dark, and we don't know what's out there. But at least we know that we are prepared to handle that situation. And when we know we're prepared to handle that situation, we turn into this fearless monster that can do what's necessary to do if we want to really destroy and beast these markets. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Another late night episode, so I apologize if the words are slurred and whatnot. I'm tired, but it was on the top of my head. I wanted to get it to you guys, and that's what I love about the Trading Coach Podcast. It gives me a platform where I can just spew what I want to spew and hopefully help you guys while I'm doing so. And I know it does, because you guys leave good feedback. By the way, if you haven't done so already, leave me some feedback on the podcast. The best thing you can do to support me, leave a rating, leave a review, and subscribe on whatever podcasting app you're listening to this on.